Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Stop whatever you're doing. Close your emails. Pull into a lay-by. Put down that spoon. Stop jogging, for fuck's sake. It's time for News Thing, the podcast. Britain's longest-running and least shit satirical podcast. Now, bringing you the facts that matter and the opinions that don't, please welcome your hosts, Sam Delaney and Andy Dawson.
Yes, that man didn't lie. This is News Thing, the weekly topical news show from the men behind Top Flight Time Machine, which is Britain's, possibly the world's best football podcast. Here, we apply the same sort of thinking and chatter to the big stories of the week. I'm Sam Delaney.
And I'm Andy Dawson.
Well, now you say your name. That's it.
Yeah.
And here we are, Andy. Both once again divided by a body of water.
We are. I mean, the other day I was in Cyprus when we did Top Flight Time Machine and you were in the UK. And today I am back in the UK and you are in...
the Isle of Wight, in a small village called Braden. I spend as much time as possible in the Isle of Wight.
For tax reasons?
On the original... yeah. On the, like the Rolling Stones, I can only actually be on mainland Britain for 60 days a year. Do you follow Jagger on Instagram?
I've seen some of his work, yeah.
Oh, God, he's really been going.
Have you seen some of the comments that he leaves on his kids? He's got a young son, I think.
No,
he leaves comments on his son's Instagram, and they're all like sort of like really embarrassing dad type comments, like "way to go, son," and like thumb emojis and all that sort of thing. And like, I think there was a one recently where his son was sort of in the ocean somewhere or something, and Jagger left a comment but something along the lines of "be careful." Proper dad stuff.
The thing is, people, not just Mick Jagger, but humans in general, they post things about their kids, messages to their kids on social media to demonstrate to their other friends on social media that they're good parents. But what they're actually demonstrating is the reverse. Because
yeah,
if you're communicating with your children via social media as opposed to directly, then there is a flaw.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone was ever thinking that Jagger would be up for Dad of the Year award. He's been having a lot of fun on his Instagram account recently, and I can heartily recommend it. And I always, I never communicate with celebrities on social media because it's embarrassing, right? Unless like you know them or it started up, but Jagger, I always post messages of encouragement to, because he's like an old man trying to still have fun. I always post on most things he does. Go on, mate, go for it. I say that about much like the sort of messages he posts to his son. I always do it because he's always just, I like him because he's a pensioner, but he's still got a lust for life.
Yeah.
He'll land somewhere like Helsinki for a gig, and rather than just sit in his hotel room being grumpy or ordering room service or speaking to his accountant on the phone, he always says, just touched down in Helsinki, 5 hours to the gig, time to have a walk around and see what this city has to offer. And I'll always write, go for it, mate. Because I think that's nice. You know, he's still got the energy and the curiosity to, you know, go out and explore new places.
Do you think that he's sort of sitting there waiting for validation from Sam Delaney?
Yes.
Whenever he puts an Instagram post up, he sort of keeps checking his mentions.
And he's like, where's Delaney? Oh, where's Delaney? Oh, here he is. What's he said now? Oh, he said. He said I should go for it. Oh, he's a good man, Delaney.
I'll probably let him take over when I leave the Stones or when I die.
I saw Mick Jagger once in person in a branch of Habitat in Kensington.
Well, it would be in
one
London,
of the most bourgeois places you can imagine,
yeah.
Andy, if you can imagine that in your mind. I don't know whether you've got the capacity to. No.
Tiny northern mind.
Just imagine a really nice bourgeois furniture store in one of the poshest places on earth, Kensington. Anyway, I was in there because I was killing time for a meeting, so I thought I'll have a browse around Habitat. And I was wandering about. It was good like, I'm going back a good 12 years at least. And it was the middle of the afternoon on a weekday.
Yeah.
I hear a familiar voice and I look round and it's Mick Jagger. And I've gone, it's bloody Jagger here in Habitat. And he had an assistant with him and he was looking at some tidbits and they had a member of Habitat staff just with them.
Of course. Like
a personal shopper, which is not a service that that Habitat usually offer. But, I mean, Jagger's walked in, you're going to say, if you're the boss of Habitat, you go to one of your best like members of the staff. Go and just go with him and do whatever else. And I saw him.
Jagger's in.
And he picked up a small vase, small pot, and it was made, I think, out of ceramic, china, something like that. And he's gone, oh, I like this. And they've gone, oh, great. And he's gone to the shop assistant, can you do one in wood? Right? And they go, sorry. And he goes, I said, can you do one in wood? And they've just looked and they go, no, it just comes like this. He went, yeah, I know, but can you make me one in wood? And it's like, no, this is Habitat. She didn't say it. But you could see in her eyes, she's saying, mate, you misunderstand what this shop is. This is a chain store. It's all made in some fucking sweatshop in China by children. He thinks that he can get anything he wants bespoke. And they said, I'm sorry, it's the only way it comes. So he left without his tiny wooden vase that he craved. But it was an exceptional thing to witness. Just like, you know, rich, famous people go into shops and just think that anything is possible.
He thinks there's a fella at the back slaving away.
So there you go. But anyway, I can't remember how we got onto old Jagger. But, oh yeah, the Isle of Wight. Well, if you want to...
Which podcast is this? Is this the news one or the football one?
It's the news one. It's actually a new one about Rolling Stones. If you go onto our YouTube, the news thing YouTube channel, which contains all of the great archive from the long-running and much-loved TV version of this show, you will see a small VT that we made about the Isle of Wight, which goes a long way to explaining why it is that I am so obsessed with the place. It's the only non-flammable part of the United Kingdom. You know, like a lot of the United Kingdom now is highly flammable because of the government cutting red tape and allowing builders and landlords to just make flammable buildings. And it's much cheaper to make flammable buildings.
Really?
So they just prefer to put it. They prefer to make flammable ones because it increases their profits. But as a result of that, most people are at risk of being set on fire at any moment. Like where you're sat now in your house in Sunderland, it could go up like a tinderbox at any moment.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But the reason I'm here at my mum's in the Isle of Wight, it's not flammable in the Isle of Wight. Because the Isle of Wight was built in the 50s by an eccentric billionaire.
Fuck,
who
really?
Who dreamt of an island that was impervious to man's oldest foe, fire.
Right.
Yeah, and so he built it entirely out of flame-resistant products and materials. And that's why I feel so safe here.
Is it coated in some kind of sort of like non-flammable liquid or something?
Yeah.
Resin?
Yeah, there is some resin, but that's just one of the things. I mean, there's a lot. Basically, you can't have anything flammable here. I know you're looking at me on FaceTime. It looks like wood behind me. But
you're in a wood cabin of some kind, yeah.
It's a special type of non-flammable wood. Anyway, listen, go on to if you go onto our YouTube channel, you'll see a better explanation of it than the one I'm offering here. Let's get stuck into this week's news. No deal Brexit. The government are issuing their challenges to these nightmare scenarios about what would happen if we basically walk away with no deal from the EU, which was always, has always been painted, even by people in the government, as like a doomsday scenario, but now it's like their bargaining position, their negotiation position with the EU is we don't want a deal. Now, if you don't want a deal, why are you even at the table in the first place? You're wasting your time. It can only be a bluff. You don't go to an estate agent and say, I want to buy a £500,000 house, but my opening offer is nothing because, haha, I don't really want to buy the house anyway. Just don't bother walking into an estate agent in the first place.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, on Deal or No Deal where they've got two boxes and the contestant's got the box they chose at the beginning and they open it up and it's the last one and it's for one pence and it could have been 250 grand, but that's the other one. It's one pence. It's like what they're just taking their fucking shoe off and then just smashing the box up with their shoe. It's like, we could have had one pence, but fuck that. I don't want one pence. I'm just going to smash it up instead.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel. But it feels quite exciting at the same time because there's that potential for chaos, which I'm quite thrilled by a little bit.
You're now looking forward to that in a perverse way, aren't you? Because you
know very perverse way indeed, yeah.
Well, because you personally, your attitude is, I'm all right, Jack, because you, of course, buried all your sausage rolls in thermos flasks around the woods in the northeast.
Close to where Raoul Mort died, yeah.
So you're just like, I don't care. Let the rest of the country burn. And then, of course, I've got my sanctuary in the Isle of Wight, the only non-flammable place in the
UK. Flame-proof sanctuary, yeah.
Which hopefully will be impervious to any kind of Brexit fallout. And so we're kind of okay. But it is scary. Dominic Raab is the sort of stooge who's been kicked in front of the cameras to tell people, don't worry, no deal will probably be all right. But I saw some clips of him sort of talking about it. And his forehead, which, by the way, is enormous and tremendously shiny. It's one of the shiniest surfaces you could ever see. I mean, you could do your own makeup in it if you wore makeup.
I wonder if it's flammable.
Certainly. Unless the shine is from a non-flammable resin. I don't know.
The resin of the Isle of Wight, yeah.
He might have his wife or his butler resin his face every morning to protect him from flames. I don't know. Fireproof me. Dominic Raab is not only a very able statesman, he is also the British government's first completely non-flammable minister, Secretary of State. And that's why we're so lucky to have him. I defy flames. Anyway, literally, you could look at him and use him as a mirror in the morning to do your face.
Yeah.
It was sweating profusely, which to my mind is a telltale sign that he is like bullshitting.
Shitting it.
Yeah. I don't know about your forehead, but my forehead will start to sweat if I'm telling someone a load of old bullshit. It's a dead giveaway.
Mine was sweating quite a lot this week, but that was because I was on holiday lots of hot meat in a hot country.
Well, that could be the explanation as well. He might have eaten a lot of hot meat before he went on air. If he did, maybe. I think he's getting the wrong advice from his spin doctors. And he wants to think about changing that shit up. Like, sir, you're going in front of the BBC to be interviewed by Nick Robinson in 20 minutes. In the meantime, here is a lamb kofta I have picked up for you. Extra spicy, how you like it. Do you think I should eat it now or before I've spoken to Robinson about the no-deal scenario? Eat it now. You should never be interviewed on an empty stomach. Fuck me.
But did you see him talking about the sandwich famine that people suggesting is going to happen? This is a quote from Dominic Raab. Let me assure you that contrary to one of the wilder claims, you will still be able to enjoy your BLT after Brexit. Oh, nice one. And he says, and there are no plans to deploy the army to maintain food supplies. See that? No plans at the moment.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, no plans.
And he's all right.
They're so bloody careful. So do people think that's because we won't be able to get bacon from Denmark anymore?
Well, pretty much, yeah.
And I suppose you get tomatoes, a lot of the year round, tomatoes come from Spain, don't they?
Yeah.
And lettuces.
I don't know where lettuce comes from.
I think we do lettuces here because in Beatrix Potter, Peter Rabbit was always nicking them.
Yeah, that's true. It's a very British fucking vegetable, isn't it?
Of course it is, because it's fucking bland.
Bland.
It's 90% water. It offers nothing nutritionally whatsoever.
We can export them after Brexit to fucking nowhere.
Fucking lettuce soup, that's what we'll be living off. I'll tell you my Dominic Raab story if you want to hear it.
I'd love to.
I was hosting a Brexit debate on behalf of Talk Radio, and it was at the News UK building. I mean, you can imagine. It was a horrible experience for me. Anyway, it was a debate, and Rob was one of the people, the contestants, I called them. I was the chair, believe it or not. And on one side, you had...
You were the quizmaster.
Yeah, Rob and Julia Hartley Brewer, who is the, the sort of foaming, lovely but insanely pro-Brexit broadcaster. And on the other side, it was the comedian Matt Ford and Anna Soubry. Anyway, it was an extremely heated debate, as you can imagine. I lost control instantly. And at the end, when I wrapped it all up and we were off air, because there was a live audience, but it was also going out live on the radio. And I sort of wrapped the whole thing up and then turned to someone like Soubry and started going, yeah, I thought that went all right, really, didn't it? Right? And so... Began my, you know, customary process of self-congratulation for being the quizmaster of a completely chaotic debate broadcast. Anyway, while I had turned my back to the audience, who obviously I had no intention of interacting with once we'd come off air, there was a kerfuffle and someone pulled me by the sleeve and said, Sam, you better step in. And someone had leapt out of the audience and charged at Rob. There was a Rob charge and he was shouting abuse at him for something to do with Brexit, because the bloke was saying, I've lost my job because of Brexit. And someone pulled me on the sleeve, a producer, as if to say, it's your job here to step in. And I thought, I don't know if that's the case.
Nah.
Just because I was the quizmaster of this debate.
You were off the clock by that point.
Yeah, I was off the clock. And I don't see how the personal safety of Dominic Raab is my responsibility, just because he happened to be on the panel
Fuck
that I was
all
chairing.
The two of you.
Anyway, there's a young researcher who, I don't know, you probably know him. He looks like a little choir boy. He looks about 12 years old. He's the tiniest man on our team, if you can call him a man, called Rudd. And he was closest to Rob other than me. And he was facing, he saw what's happening. So he stood up and found himself standing between a mad, I don't know, a farmer or something, who was worrying about losing his job, and Dominic Raab. Raab shat it. He looks quite tough, doesn't he, Raab? But he really shat himself. He didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And then someone stepped out, quite a tall man in a nice suit, stepped out of the audience and grabbed Raab's assailant by the scruff of the neck, quite brutal, and said, take your seat or you will be removed from the building. And I started feeling more confident then, because this bloke seemed very self-assured.
Yeah, you weirded
in
at this point.
He looked a bit special forces. So I went, yeah, go on, just go sit down, like what he said. Right, that was the only point I intervened. Before that, I was planning on just like shuffling off.
Cunt.
Yeah, go on, fucking sit down. Leave Dominic Raab alone or you get some of this, mate. Right. So the bloke goes and sits down. Then I find myself alone with the strapping gentleman who had just saved the day. And I looked at him down and thought, this is one of those geezers who's ex-special forces. He probably works in here in News UK on the payroll of Rupert Murdoch as some sort of special, you know, king of security. Because I'm thinking they wouldn't have put this event on without some sort of security, because these people are high-profile politicians.
Doom.
I go to the fella, you handled that well. And he went, yes, thanks very much. Some of these people just need putting in their place. He was very arrogant. And I went, so what are you then? Head of security, are you? XSAS, something like that? And he went, no. He went, I am the political editor of The Sun. And it was, what's his name? I can't remember his name now. He's
Tom
got a
Newton
double.
Tom
Newton Dunn. He went, I'm Tom Newton Dunn. And I said, oh, I've interviewed you on the phone lots of times. So I'd had him on my radio show countless times, but I'd never met him face to face.
Right.
And I was like, oh, why are you really? Well, well done for that. I thought you handled it very well. But that's the thing. It's the breeding, you see, Andy. It's the breeding of men like him. It's better than the breeding of the likes of us. Yeah, he had a natural authority about him. And he gave an instruction. And a man who was clearly of the lower social orders just followed those instructions without any questioning whatsoever. And that's why he handled it so well. Whereas me, I was just ready to
Brexit
like shuffle off. And I refuse to be labelled a coward for my attitude. It was more just, I'm going to say, I just didn't care about the fate of Dominic Raab.
Yeah, but you're also a coward.
Had Rudd and Tom Newton Dunn not intervened in that situation, Dominic Raab and his sweaty forehead would not have had to sit there today and explain the no-deal scenario to the nation, because he'd be dead of a farmer.
And yeah. I do know Rudd, and it's quite ironic that you could describe Rudd as the human lettuce.
Yeah, that's what he is, yeah. That's how English Rudd is. He's like a lettuce.
And that's exactly what we need.
We'll try and post a picture of young Rudd on Twitter, just so you can visualise him. But suffice to say, this is a lad who wanted to be a journalist, but on the day we did a show about Donald Trump's inauguration, we were all in the pub, again, celebrating afterwards, because I was self-congratulating myself for my own coverage of the inauguration. So we went to the pub, and everyone was there having a high old time of it. And on the telly, Trump had just been sworn in. And I turned to Rudd to ask him if he wanted a drink, and he was crying. And I said, "What are you crying about, mate?" And he went, "I can't believe he's president." And he was it was the wrong context. I mean, whatever. Maybe he was right to be upset. I'm not judging him. But when you're surrounded by a load of very cynical, jaded journalists in a pub, you're not going to get a good reaction to that. And everyone laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. It's horrible. Bullying, really, isn't it?
It was, yeah. Poor Rudd, the human lettuce.
I don't think... I think you can't allow... I think you can't allow yourself to put so much... You can't invest so much of your own emotion in the events of the world, can you? But you're incapable of controlling.
Can I just add, on the no Brexit thing, my favourite little factoid that came out of it today. We're going to need, in the event of a no deal, we're going to need new picture warnings for cigarette packets. You know, all those graphic pictures of like lungs on fucking slabs
and
stuff.
Because they're made in Europe,
with
are
their
they?
Fingers hanging off. Yeah, the they're EU on the copyright of the current ones.
Yeah, it's probably some bloke in France does those.
It'll be Berlin, I reckon. Advertising company in Berlin, probably. They're all fucked.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
What's next, Andy?
My main story of the week has been something that's been celebrated by a lot of people as one of the greatest achievements by one individual man in recent times. Mm. But to me, has just been a pathetic indictment of how far that man in question has fallen. It's not Elon Musk. No. It's Pete Doherty from off of the Libertines.
Pete Doherty is sort of like Britain's Elon Musk, though, or at least he was.
Yeah, he's... what he's done is he's completed a mega breakfast challenge in Margate, of all places, which consisted of 4,000 calories. Mm. I've got the list here of what was in the big breakfast. 4 eggs, 4 bits of bacon, 4 sausages, a quarter pound of burger, chips, hash browns, onion rings, some bubble, beans or tomatoes, it says. You get a choice. mushrooms, two slices of thick bread, and a tea or coffee. And Doherty knocked this back in 20 minutes, apparently.
Jesus.
Fucking an onion ring in a breakfast.
Yeah, what? I mean, there's a lot of things in that that I don't think have any place in the Great British
Breakfast. A quarter pound of burger?
No,
McDonald's
not a burger.
Don't knock the burgers
I've seen
in
it
for
done.
Half 10.
I've seen it done, a burger, and people seem to think it's something to be proud of. They, you know, a gut buster breakfast with a burger, but it's just not a breakfast food. It's not a breakfast food.
There can be such a thing as too much breakfast, and that's what's happened here. He's over-breakfasted.
Why did Doherty do this? Was it some sort of art project? I know that Margate is very arty nowadays.
I don't know. I think that he possibly knows the fella that runs the calf. It smacks of a massive
PR
sort
stunt.
Of PR-related stitch-up, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he sat there looking like fucking Gollum.
He doesn't look healthy.
In front of this silver tray with all this breakfast on. And apparently 20 minutes later, he's finished it. I'm calling bollocks on the whole thing.
Really? You think it was a stitch-up? He's reduced to this. I mean,
there
was a time, what was it, the mid-noughties, I suppose, where he was thought of as, the great hope of British songwriting, wasn't he? I mean, they were a very
well-respected band. Well, not in my mind, he wasn't.
But people did regard them that way, the Libertines, didn't they? They were considered, people loved them.
Some people
I'm not saying they were not really my cup of tea, but now he is reduced to
or coffee.
He's reduced to being a hired sort of PR, like performing monkey for
breakfast
a greasy spoon on the south coast, on the Kent coast of all places.
Yeah, and the owner of the calf said, and I quote: "We told him he couldn't feed his dog, or the challenge was void." He said he just spent $4,000 on the dog and he wasn't going to feed it fried breakfast.
He spent $4,000 on a dog?
Yeah. Have you seen him? He's like some kind of elite level tramp.
Oh, my God.
He looks like he's just fucking fallen out of a tree.
Yeah, so what's he going around spending money on £4,000 dogs for? That dog better be some kind of super dog that can do somersaults and that.
I think you spend more than like £130 on a dog you've been ripped off, haven't you? Because they're
idiot.
Everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, but
I
mean...
kind of dog it is.
How much did your dog cost?
£130.
Oh, that's why you picked that figure out.
Yeah.
Of nowhere.
Maybe it was canine from Doctor Who.
Yes.
Maybe that's what
well,
it is.
Well, if it was £4,000, you'd want it to be a robotic dog.
At the very fucking least, yeah.
That didn't foul the pavement and, you know, oblige you to
shits
pick
fireworks
it up.
Instead.
Who feeds your dog when you're away on your holiday?
He stays with my parents.
Oh, okay, that's all right.
He goes on holiday himself to my parents' house.
Yeah.
And he loves them very much, so it's
I bet
all right.
He prefers it there.
He does, to be honest, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, can't blame him, can you?
So
yeah, that's my contribution to this week. Pete Doherty's fucking big breakfast.
We ought to talk about Donald Trump because two of his ex-staff have been up in court. This Cohen character has turned state's witness in the investigation into Trump in order to get a lighter sentence for all his skullduggery. He has turned on Trump and said, yeah, we paid off the prozzy and the Playboy model to keep them shut, keep their mouths shut. And Trump has hit back by going, all right, fuck it. Yeah, we did. But it wasn't campaign money. It was my own money we paid them off with. This is where America is at right now, is that a president... right, is saying, he's getting himself out of trouble by saying, yeah, all right, we paid off a prosy and a Playboy model. Fine.
Yeah.
Fine. But it wasn't campaign money. It's my business who I pay off with my own money. So why doesn't everyone just shut up and let me get on with running the country? That's literally his position.
Yeah. And not only that, these are the payments that a couple of months ago he was saying he had no knowledge of. They were nothing to do with him. He'd never heard of them. And now he's saying, yeah, we did it, but... But,
yeah,
you know, I only found out later on.
I didn't know about it, but then now I do. And anyway, shut up about it because it's none of your business. It was my own money that I paid her off with.
Yeah.
I mean, well, what's his missus saying about this? You look at put Bill Clinton into perspective. Bill Clinton, right? Fine, he got noshed off by one of the interns in the White House, and that wasn't good. But at the time, you know, people were like, "Oh, he's got to go." he's got to be impeached. He was close to being impeached, wasn't he?
He was impeached, but they found him not guilty. They found him to be unimpeachable.
Yeah, they found him unimpeachable. But that was just one blowy in the Oval Office, right?
And it happens.
Everyone says, oh, what about Hillary, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, I'm not defending Clinton, but Jesus, blow me, as they say. You know, this president is openly saying, and his wife, what's she got to say about it all?
Well, I think we'll find out once he's not president anymore. I think we'll find out what she's got to say about it.
Hey, Andy, do you think he will get impeached? There's congressional elections coming up, and if the Democrats take, you know, the Senate and House of Representatives, then there's every chance they will have a good, you know, they will start proceedings to have him impeached. But I think America's bananas. I don't think that America is going to elect a load of Democrats to the to Congress. I think that they will carry on voting Republican. I think the worst things get, they're quite happy. All the people who voted for him are happy because he looks, as far as they can see, he's delivering on what he said he would, which is to shake things up. And he's certainly doing that.
Drain the swamp. And
the way he's taken on foreign powers and all the rest of it, do you know what I mean?
He hasn't.
He hasn't really, he's done a great job of appearing to, hasn't he?
Here's a quote from his interview with Fox and Friends this morning or yesterday morning. And I always like Fox and Friends. It sounds like it's some kind of like Channel 5 puppet show, doesn't it?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah. On Channel 5's milkshake strand, yeah.
Yeah, Fox and Friends. So he was on
now
there
it's
being
time
interviewed.
For Fox and Friends. See what his woodland adventures bring us this week.
And today's guest in Fox and Friends is Donald Trump, who sailed up the river on his log raft. And he said, I don't know how you can impeach somebody who's done a good job. I tell you what, if I ever got impeached, I think the market would crash. I think everybody would be very poor. And then he pointed to his head. And then he pointed to his head and he said, because without this thinking, you would see numbers that you wouldn't believe.
Ah.
But in reverse.
No. Well, you've got to admit, Andy, that is a chilling prospect.
That's the kind of thing that his supporters are just going to go, fucking hell, you know what? He's right.
He's right.
He's right. Because it's like what he said he would do, but then when he's impeached, it's all going to go in reverse. Reverse the mechanism!
But the thing is, imagine, it's a bit like Johnny Ball used to do, think of a number. He's saying, imagine a number, all right. Now think of a number that is impossible for you to imagine. All right, I've thought of one. I've thought of a number that's impossible to think of.
It's perfect.
All right, now reverse it. Ah!
Oh!
My mind's exploded. All right, I'll vote Republican. You convince me.
My other favourite bit about it was when he was talking about the Michael Cohen confessions, because he pleaded guilty to 8 different counts. Mm. And Trump came out and said, 2 of the counts weren't even crimes. So you've got a court in the United States manned by judges and lawyers and the finest legal minds out there. Cohen has confessed to 8 counts. They're happy with this. They've accepted this. But Trump says the 2 of them weren't even crimes. So I think they need to look at them again.
Yeah, they should. But the thing is, when he says these things, the reason he continues to speak such shit is because it works. He's thought, if I say something's not a crime, then it's not. I mean, it's like my son, right, who's 6, he might hit his sister in front of me, right, in plain sight of me. And I go, she goes, oh, he hit me. And I go, why'd you hit? And he goes, I didn't. I just saw you do it.
Yeah.
No, you didn't, because it didn't happen. And sometimes that works on me.
Prove it.
In a way, I'm like the American electorate. I'm like the American public. I'm the embodiment of it. And he's my Donald Trump. Because if he just sticks, I just shrug and go, yeah, all right. You know?
Prove it, shithouse.
I mean, I'm just easily worn down.
Before we go, though, I've got some news without news. Some more headlines.
Tell me,
marks out of 10.
Yeah.
Hong Kong doctor killed wife and daughter using gas-filled yoga ball.
I'm going to give it an 8 because I usually don't like sad stories about murder.
Yeah.
But I am so fascinated about the gas-filled yoga ball that I would have to find out more.
I'd probably skim bits. Just enough to hook you, isn't
it? Yeah, it is, yeah.
Just enough. Here's one. Mum thinks her house might be haunted by a spunking ghost and people are agreeing with her.
Ten.
Ten, yeah.
Definitely.
Gay goose and swan in relationship for 18 years could be immortalised.
Nah, they've told me the whole story.
Yeah, it's all there, isn't it?
If it, I thought you were going to say could be immortal, then I was about to give it a 10.
Yeah, definitely.
But no, if they're not immortal, then I'm not interested.
Three.
Yeah.
Three. Finally, woman says mouse stole 14 bags of Wotsits when boyfriend denies eating them.
Yeah, I'd give that a solid 8 because it sounds like a good ruse. I mean, it's the sort of thing I'd do. You know, if they were, you know, I don't know if anyone's ever, has anyone ever hid food from you? My wife hides crisps now.
Nah, no one can hide food from me.
She tries to, like, not have things like crisps in the house because she knows me and the kids will just scoff them and then not eat our tea. And then, but sometimes there's crisps left over from something like, say, if we've had people round for a barbie, you might have some crisps out. Or if the kids have had a party, there'll be some crisps out. And there's often crisps left over. She'll bloody hide them from me. And then I will go mad like a junkie, like Zamo when he was licking heroin off the toilet floor time, looking for the crisps. And then I'll find them and I'll scoff them. And I will sometimes make up a lie or try to bullshit that I didn't eat them. And, you know, you try various things, don't you? You say it was a ghost. You say it was the cat. Usually you blame the kids. But this is a new one. A mouse is quite a good idea. So I'd probably read it just for that.
You could combine two stories there together, and next time you steal some crisps from... Did you eat them off the floor, did you say?
I have done,
You've eaten them off the floor. You could just blame them on a spunking ghost.
Spunking ghost mouse.
Yeah.
Where are those crisps I left on the floor? Oh, yeah, about that. There's this... I don't know if you've seen it, but there's this spunking ghost mouse that's been hanging around, and I saw it gobbling them up.
Yeah. I'll call it. I'll start calling
Where's its mouse spunk? Its ghost mouse spunk then? Oh, I wiped that up. I didn't catch it quite in time to stop it eating all the crisps, but then it disappeared back to, you know, the afterlife.
Is that what ectoplasm is then? Is that ghost mouse spunk?
Yeah. If you really wanted to make this lie stand up, you'd eat the crisps and then spunk on where they were. And then you go, look, that mouse has been here again, eating all the crisps. You know, like a six pack. You'd have spunked in, wanked into the empty six pack.
Yeah.
Food for thought.
It is definitely, I think we should probably leave it there now.
Yeah, okay. All right, this has been News Thing. It's been wonderful. I've been Sam, he's been Andy. Follow us at News Thing on Twitter. And if you want to hear the story behind News Thing, you could look up the piece I wrote in The Guardian, which features Andy in a prominent role. And it tells the story. It was in this weekend's Guardian. It tells the story of how News Thing came about and its rise and fall on RT UK. So Google that and you might find it funny. We'll be back next week with more stories. And in the meantime, you can, of course, listen to our wonderful award-winning football podcast Top Flight Time Machine through all the usual channels, right, Andy?
That's quite right. Yeah, it's quite an empire we're building, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is, mate. Love you, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.